This Easter season, from now through Pentecost of June 8th, we are thinking about the spiritual practice of discernment, what it means to discern God's direction for our lives, and what it means for us to participate in the life of this community with our time, talent, and finances. We are reading the correspondence of the early church to help us deepen our understanding of our gifts and how God calls us to use them. This morning, we hear from Paul's letter to the churches in Corinth. Let us open our hearts and minds across time and space to hear Paul's encouragement as if it were written for us here in Brookline today. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. God gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. The Spirit gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. The Spirit alone decides which gift each person should have. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God in Spirit, and for the Word of God among us, thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts give glory to you, O God, our Mother, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So as we mentioned at the beginning of worship, we're in the middle of stewardship season, which Julia also read out in her introduction to our reading for today. Last week, Kent and Amy introduced us to the idea of stewardship and reminded us that stewardship is about a lot more than just making pledges to meet a budget, although Emily Reed will remind us that is important too. It is part of it. But discernment is something bigger. It's about discerning all of our gifts, including our finances, that we can contribute to our community. And during this season, leading up to Pentecost, we have a little mantra. So if anyone has been to church camp, this is a repeat after me game. Let's try that again. This is a repeat after me game. God has given me a gift of my own. I don't have to do it all. We have what we need. Using our gifts is filled with joy. Excellent. So this is our mantra in this season, and each week we're taking a little piece of that. So today we are focusing on the first part, that God has given me a gift of my own. I wonder, when was the last time you thought about what your gifts are? Do you think about your gifts as being a blessing from God? Just think about that for a minute. I wonder if there's anyone over at the playground who would feel up for answering some questions. James, Wesley, Myers, anyone else? Yeah, James, come on right up if you're ready. What's something you do that brings you a lot of joy?
Giving out flowers.
Giving out flowers. Does that bring joy to other people too? It sure does. That's a super special gift. Something that you brings you joy and it brings joy to others. Paul talks about our gifts are for the common good, right? And they also feel really good when we use them. That's a great example. Thanks, James. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share? Something that you do that brings you joy. Carmine, let's go.
Saying hi to strangers.
Absolutely. Myers. Sports. Ooh, bringing you and others joy, those who get to watch you. What are some other, any other hands? Folks want to share their gifts. You can keep mulling it over as the service goes on. My hunch is that as we get older, we might lose touch with this clear sense of what our gifts are. Being able to name our gifts is really important, and discerning is something that brings us joy and brings joy to those around us. Being able to name it is so important. When we serve from our gifts, it's usually something that comes naturally to us. This is something that even corporate America has started to catch on to. Maybe some of you have heard of the Clifton Strengths Assessment or Strengths Finder. There was a World War II bomber named Don Clifton who, when he came back from serving in the war, decided he wanted to dedicate his life to serving humanity for the common good. So he started researching human development and psychology. And he came across something. He found that all the psychology textbooks were asking the same question: what's wrong with people? Don thought, what if we turn that question around and start asking, what's going right with people? What if we got curious about what's going really well in someone's life? So he developed an assessment tool which is now used widely in corporate spaces by hiring managers, companies, and even ordination boards to help people discern and identify what their strengths are. Because it turns out that people actually feel more fulfilled, and they are less likely to burn out, and they are even more effective at what they do when they're serving from their gifts, rather than constantly trying to improve on a weakness or a growing edge. And when people flourish, communities flourish. It reminds me a lot of what 3rd century theologian St. Irenaeus says, that the glory of God is human fully alive. Think about that, that God actually desires us to live and be fully alive. So if using our gifts is something that brings us joy and feels fulfilling to us and to others, what gets in the way of discerning our gifts? What stops us? My hunch is that sometimes as adults, we lose touch with our gifts. It becomes harder to name out loud that thing that we know God gave us that brings us joy and joy to those around us. Maybe we've never taken the time to really discern. Or we start to become focused on what other people want or expect of us, thinking about, well, what's important to them and how can I be that? If we don't have clarity about what our gifts are, we might lose touch with our passion and purpose. And we give power to others to define us and define what's good about us. We might even have experiences that cause us to doubt our gifts. I wonder if that's happened to anyone here. It happened to me. Several years ago, I applied to serve in the Peace Corps. Nathan and I had gone through a period of discerning what gifts we thought we had and how we could serve and be of use to others in the world. We were so excited to apply to the Peace Corps because we felt like we had so much to offer. Between us, we speak three languages. We had experience working with youth. Nathan had experience in public health. I had experience teaching English to English language learners. And so we were thrilled when we were accepted to our top choice location, which was Morocco, and we were going to be sent as youth development specialists. There was just one final piece that we had to get through before we were officially cleared to serve, and that was the physical and medical review. To my surprise, this medical exam was not just focused on physical health, but mental health as well. And they asked a lot of questions. I had just started going to counseling, thinking that it would be a great time for me to gain some techniques in stress management, especially as I was preparing to move across the world to another country in a potentially stressful environment. Having disclosed this information, the Peace Corps unfortunately did not have the same growth mindset that I did. I was rejected. I got an email saying that I was unfit to serve because I had been to counseling. I appealed the decision, and a month later, this too was rejected. All communicated to me exclusively via electronic communication, despite my request to speak to somebody in person via phone or video. I was devastated. The fact that all of my gifts could have been so overlooked and overshadowed by one detail of medical history was demoralizing. I spent months questioning, were my gifts not valued to others? Did I discern wrong? Was I not who I thought I was? Was there something wrong with me? It undermined my sense of self for a long time, and it took me a while to regain my confidence. With time, I was able to process the experience thanks to the affirmation of many loved ones, including a wonderful spiritual director. Ironically, right at the time that I probably could have benefited from more counseling, I was terrified that doing so would be used against me again. So I turned to spiritual direction as a way to deepen in my spiritual life and relationship with God, which was incredibly helpful. Each time someone affirmed my gifts, it meant so much to me and allowed me to recover a little bit of my dignity piece by piece, which is why I believe it's so important for us to notice the gifts we see in each other. In fall of 2023, several friends reached out with the headline that Peace Corps was being sued for a pattern of discriminatory mental health practices. And knowing that there were 8 complainants who filed a class action lawsuit helped me again to realize that I was not alone in this. And this experience opened my eyes to the way that mental health stigma is so pervasive and affects so many people. I share this story on Mental Health Sunday because as a congregation, we are committed to speaking out about the importance of mental health, and we advocate for full inclusion of those who are dealing with mental illness. Based on what we know about the statistics of those who wrestle with mental health challenges, probably some of you in this room are also dealing with mental health challenges. I hope you know that you are welcome here, and that your diagnosis does not define you. As I said, my experience with Peace Corps opened my eyes to just how pervasive the stigma around mental health still is. And I want to be really clear that the problem was not that I went to counseling. The problem is that I was discriminated against. The problem is that people get reduced to their diagnoses as if that can possibly tell you the whole story of who they are. And when we do this, we pathologize people's personhood. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you from within." I imagine that for a lot of us, discerning our gifts is so hard because we have an experience of the world squeezing us into its mold. The good news is we get to help each other discern those gifts, and that's part of what this season is all about. The other hard truth is that even when we are in touch with our gifts, it's not necessarily a guarantee that the world will value them the way God does. There was even a great discussion in Bible study this morning of, do we place some value over more gifts than others? For example, the work of parenting, and mothering especially, is undervalued in mainstream society. I truly believe that if mothers were really valued, we would have a national standard of paid maternity leave and guaranteed health insurance for every child and mother born. The U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy published a health advisory last August titled Parents Under Pressure. And it was really interesting that that came out 2 months after my own experience of giving birth. The U.S. Surgeon General opens the report by saying this: "The work of parenting is essential not only for the health of children, but also for the health of society." Wow. The top medical professional in the United States sees parenting as necessary for the health of society, which is a beautiful step forward in beginning to acknowledge the gift that is parenting and mothering. Parenting is hard work. A lot of you know that. And that's why it is such a huge gift for me to be involved in a community like United Parish, where children and their parents are loved and celebrated exactly for who they are, where adults who are parents and non-parents bring their gifts of teaching, love, and care to share with our children. And children are invited to share their gifts with our community too. And we all benefit from this. Mother's Day of all days is a day to celebrate mothers and all those who are involved in the sacred work of parenting, which I believe is all of us. One of my motherhood heroes is my grandmother, Nani. She's 94 years old, a mother of five, plus a mother to a foster son from Vietnam, grandmother of seven, and great-grandmother of four. Her husband, my grandfather, was a deeply beloved, very well-known, charismatic senior pastor. He served his last congregation in Minnesota for over 30 years. He was an incredible pastor, preacher, and friend to many. People would often ask my Nani, "Well now, what do you do?" And having answered this question many times, she came up with a quick response: "I hold the world together. What do you do?" My Nani knows exactly what her God-given gifts are. And her gifts may not have shown up in the same way as my grandfather's many titles of Reverend Doctor, Demon, etc. But he could not have been who he was without her. She holds the world together, and she still does. My grandparents each had amazing gifts, and they made an incredible team. When I feel unsure of my gifts, I look to my Nani, not because I'm trying to copy her gifts. I have my own. I look to her because she models what it looks like to have faith and trust in her Creator, the giver of all good gifts. She knows who she is, what her God-given gifts are, and she doesn't wish that she were made any other way. I'm sure that when God looks down and sees my Nani, she thinks to herself, "Now that is a human fully alive." So don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you from within. and trust that God has given you a gift of your own. It's Mental Health Sunday, it's Mother's Day, it's also my last official Sunday as your seminarian. So on a personal note, it has been a tremendous gift to be your seminarian this year. This community has so many gifts. You love children, you support families, you make beautiful music, you work for justice, you provide a space for neighbors to find food, clothing, and belonging, and you are so good at training in seminarians. You gave me a space to discover my gifts this year. And not just me, but my whole family. You gave Nathan a space to share his voice. And you have loved our son from the moment that he was born. The only way I can think to conclude a sermon about gifts is simply to extend my deepest gratitude to each of you. Thank you for sharing your many gifts with me. You've blessed my life abundantly just by being who you are. Thank you for sharing the gifts of your guidance, your mentorship, your time, your stories, your prayers, your soup and bread, your honesty, your songs, your friendship, and your encouragement. Most of all, for someone who is in the process of discerning her path forward, thank you for showing me what it looks like for a church to be fully alive with the love of God. This has been so fun. Y'all are so special, and I love you so much. As we continue in this season of discernment, asking God both individually and collectively, what is my gift and how is God inviting me to use it? I pray that discovering or rediscovering or recovering our gifts would be a journey filled with joy, remembering that what God delights in the most is humanity fully alive. So let's be a people who live abundantly, sharing our gifts and letting them shine. Amen.